gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined, as always, in hour three by my friendo, KC Bubba, at BD Entrick. Bubba, we were worried about you last week. Got to a little bit of a fender bender. Couldn't make it for the radio show, which is very understandable. But we all want to know, how are you feeling? You okay? Everything safe?
We're good. My truck's going to be out of commission for a while because insurance takes their time, and it's hard to get supplies right now. So that's going to be out of commission for a bit, but I'm fine. That's the most important part, I've been told. So everything's good in that regard.
We didn't even go back and talk to you because you said this was your first car accident. I've been in several, only one my fault, and that was a dinky little fender bender. But were you sore the next day? Because I kind of worried you. I warned you about that. Hopefully I didn't worry you about that. But I did warn you about it because sometimes you have that adrenaline pumping and you don't feel anything. You wake up the next day, you're like, ow, my throat, neck, chest, it all hurts. Or were you just okay?
No, I was fine. I was good. I didn't think I was going to be too banged up because luckily the guy moved at the last minute and just swiped the side of my vehicle instead of hitting me kind of square on it. So we ended up okay. And yeah, it was fun. It was, I could talk a lot about what took place that day, but let's just say that the other person's lucky to still be walking. Let's put it that way.
You'd be using colorful language for that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get accused of doing the accident part, that was not going to end well.
Yep. Yep. The worst accident I've been in was this kid just completely blew a stop sign and ran right into him. Right. And he's like, man, you were going really fast. I'm like, son, you have a stop sign right there. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and the cop came, guess who they gave the ticket to? The guy that blew past. I could have been going 1,000 miles an hour. You have a stop sign.
Yeah, it's pretty simple stuff. Yeah, we have a spot like that in town here that I see guys flying through all the time because they switched the way the stop signs were like 3 years ago. So some people still don't pay attention. And I still like, even if I don't have the stop sign, I take my time because it scares the snot out of me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But hey, look, when we come back, we're going to be talking about way more than the stop signs. We got so much to talk about. Lots of football going on. Thursday Night Football was a trip. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
The SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. You guys know that means I'm joined by my friend, KC Bubba, at BDAntrick on the Twitter. Bubba, tell everyone about all the stuff and things that you are doing across the interwebs right now.
Well, most of it's with you, so that's always fun.
Only like, 8 shows a week. Actually, if you count this.
So I was recording Benched with Bubba earlier on Thursday, episode 400, by the way.
Ooh,
so
nice.
I was recording that, and I was telling the guy, because he works for Fantasy Pros, Mike Mayer, so we were talking about Pizzapia for a bit, and I was laughing because he's burned out because he took over the baseball show for Pizzapia, plus he's doing other content. I'm like, yeah, Bogman and I talk about that too when we do 2 to 3 shows a night together. So it's just like, this is what we do on the daily. But yeah, Benched with Bubba, that's the pride and joy for me, coming out twice a week unless I have a car accident. So that's happening. And then I have DFS content with Bogman, baseball and football, 5 days a week for baseball. We got 2 to 3 shows a week for football. Like, we got all kinds of stuff going on there over the pre-snap and the on-deck show. And then the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast with myself and Jesse, written content at rotoballer.com. Fantasy Black Book should be coming up sooner than later to start writing that for baseball. There's all kinds of good stuff, but yeah, too much stuff. Just check me out on Twitter at BDentric. You'll get it all there and some more.
Yeah, and I don't know if I've even told people here that I am doing work over at Fantasy Pros now. I have an article every week, Bogman's Best Bets, where I dive in on five bets. I give you five other bets that I like. So I give you 10 plays in total on that. I also do an IDP show for subscribers with Pizapia every week. And I do a college football betting show with Pizapia where we're talking over the national games, the ones that I like, and the lanes. You know, I know this doesn't help you on Saturday, especially late, like this show comes out. But if you are looking for more content from Bubba and I, it is out there.
It's good too.
A lot of stuff. Yeah.
I haven't listened, and obviously people know we record on Thursday. I haven't listened to the week two podcast yet. It's on my thing, but I listened to week one, and it's cool. It highlights the big ones, and then I can pick Bogman's brain anytime I want. So I will say, I can't remember for sure, but I know you mentioned who you took, like your top five plays in your article. I know you did pretty darn well because I was sitting there going, okay, he liked this one, they smashed. He liked this one, they smashed. I think he did okay, at least 3-2, right?
I was 5-4-1. I pushed on that Ohio State game because they won exactly by 14. But the game that screwed me was the BYU game because I took BYU and the over, and they did not hold up against Arizona, which, look, it's week one for everybody, right? So, but hey, I'll take a game over 500. You're still making money.
Yeah, but what I liked about it is you didn't take the cookie cutter ones. Like, you were taking Marshall, but like your explanation for it was there, and they just thumped. Like, they just dominated.
They killed them.
UCF State came through. Yeah, App State.
Yeah, so, yeah. App State was the big one too. But I lost that Notre Dame game was the other one, and then the Florida game. I missed the over. They started scoring in the second half, and I missed the over by like 3 points. I was, bad beats are bad beats. They're going to happen every week, but I should have been 7-3. That's the one that aggravated me the most.
Week two sounds like a good chance to get back on the horse there.
You know what? The next day is always the best day is what I say. Any day you wake up is a solid one. But hey, let's, before we dive in on the football, because we got so much to talk about. Thursday Night Football was wild. And just spoiler alert, we're recording it about 3 minutes after the game is over, so it is fresh in our minds. TJ Watt got a new deal, Gus Edwards blew out his knee, and so does Marcus Peters. There's a lot to go over, but
on simultaneous plays in practice,
I mean just unbelievable. So before we dive in on football, I want to give you the floor to talk about some golf, because I know people are starting to like that. So what is going on with golf this week? I mean, not me, but I respect the people.
Well, this week, the PGA Tour is off. They're in the Euro Tour is going, but the PGA Championship was last week, the tour finals. So that is done. Done deal. Brooks Koepka had to pull out in round three, I believe.
He was doing good, wasn't he?
He was doing okay, but he hit a ball out of the rough, and there was a root underneath the ground, hit the root and damaged his wrist like bad. Like, ooh, he jammed his wrist basically. You saw him hit it and the club just went flying because it was bad. So he had to pull out of that. He was supposed to on Tuesday or Wednesday this week, was supposed to have the charity event versus David Portnoy for Barstool. That got postponed as well. But the big thing coming up for the PGA or for golf in general is the Ryder Cup, which is US versus Europe. And this past week, the US announced their captain's picks. So they're locked and loaded. Brooks will probably have to get replaced unless somehow that wrist miraculously heals. But Bryson's on the team, so we're all looking forward to Brooks and Bryson being on the same team. That's one storyline. Other storyline is one of the best.
Do you think they'll high five if they're playing well?
They flat out said, and apparently they kind of broke bread this past week before Brooks took off, because I guess enough had been enough. Enough guys were kind of getting fed up and telling them, you guys got to get your stuff together type deal. But they already said, Brooks said a while ago, I can get along with anybody for a few days. Yeah. That doesn't mean I have to like the guy. So he's like, that's what he said. Like, I can get along with anybody for a few days. So they'll make it work. We'll see if Brooks goes. If not, Patrick Reed, one of the best Ryder Cup players ever for Team USA. He did not get put on the team. So that's very controversial. Some newcomers. It'll be fun, though. It's awesome content for like just golf fans. Like, if you're not a diehard fan, you'll like the Ryder Cup still, because it's not your typical tournament. It's match play. It's like team match plays, alternate shots. It's like one team of US versus Europe, and you have to get so many points to win the cup, and it's like a big deal. And Sunday's the best because all players from each side play head-to-head in match play. Nice. It's a cool format, so I thoroughly enjoy it. And I know a lot of people that aren't diehard golf fans can at least appreciate it, because the crowd is bananas there. And it's in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits, so Team USA is going to have a big backing. But that's about as much as I'll say. I could talk golf forever, as people know. That's going to be the fun one. And then shortly after that, the new season kicks off in Napa.
Nice. So you okay. don't waste any time. Now, forgive my ignorance, but is Ryder Cup moves from U.S. to Europe every year?
It's every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
And it goes, like, 2 years ago, it was in Paris, and they whooped our ass because basically they've owned us a lot lately. But what happens is the U.S. is known for bombers, big guys that can hit far. Europe's known for very just smart golf players that hit good golf shots. And you take them like this Whistling Straits, it's a bomber's paradise. So these guys have an upper hand there. Still doesn't mean they're going to win, but they have an upper hand. In Paris, it's more like, hey, you can't hit it 340 yards. You got to hit it 260 over here and then hit a shot here. That's not what USA does well.
Right.
Europe, so in 2 more years from now, it's going to be really fun because it goes to Rome, which the golf course looks freaking amazing over there. Like, I'm angry I can't play courses like that. But like, I'd be more of a European tour player. I'm more of a meticulous shot guy, not a bomber. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. If U.S. can't get it this year, it might be another 4 years because Europe has they basically call the USA daddy, right? Like, they're their daddies right now. It's not good, but it's well, it's awesome. That's what makes it fun. Like, there's old tradition. You have coaches that have been there in the past that are like going around with the groups. It's a bigger deal than people think. It's like the closest thing you'll like how soccer has like World Cups and stuff. It's kind of like that for golf.
Now I'll get into rooting for the USA. So you know, yeah. Although. You did say it's on a Sunday, so
no, it's 3 days. I believe it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but Sunday's the biggest day because you have to get X amount of points to claim the cup, to win the cup. If you don't get X amount, then the previous people keep the cup type thing. So it's like each match is worth 1 point. If you tie after 18 holes, you each get half a point. So you have to get so many points to win. So after the first couple of days of team competition, then each guy, like they have a blind draw, and then the coaches go, I'm putting Brooks Koepka up. And this guy goes, I'm playing so-and-so against him. And then this guy puts guy, they go back and forth and set their matchups. And then it's head to head and it gets intense.
It reminds me of Beer Fest, to be
kind
honest.
Kind of, yeah. You know? No, it's wild. And then the fans are all dressed up in goofy outfits and they're hammered drunk and they're doing chants. And it's the one time you see
football fans. Do they get like that in Europe too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the Europeans, they're diehard golf fans. So it gets intense. There's like champagne, like when they celebrate and stuff. It's awesome. But it's the one time you see a lot of emotion from guys. Like, there's gifts if you look at it. There's guys fist pumping after like the third hole. Guys telling people to shush the crowd and stuff. Like, it gets good.
Well, I like that. Any type of crazy competition, I like. And look, man, you know, I asked Bubba to talk about golf. We got a whole segment out of it. So I'm sorry if you were waiting on football. It's coming. We got 2 more big segments, and they're going to be all football. So, you know, I mean, stick with us. We're going to be talking about TJ Watt's contract. What the hell are the Ravens doing at practice? And this crazy ass Thursday night football game that was absolutely nuts. So stick with us. We're going to come back right after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
Morning, yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In This League.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Please check out the In This League Patreon if you would. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We got all kinds of stuff for you over there. I've got rankings. Now I'm doing weekly rankings for Fantasy Pro, so I'm also posting them up on our Patreon as well. So you can get by position for PPR. I mean, I'm not going to change them that much for half or standard, but I've got weekly rankings for every position plus IDPs over there as well. So check that out if you would. We've got GroupMe rooms for you if you sign up at the lieutenant level or higher. Secret shows, live streams, all kinds of great stuff for you. Plus, if you're a baseball head, I know the season is ramping down, but this is where trade season starts to kick back up in your keeper leagues. And the Welsh has over 500 minor league players ranked for fantasy. He's working on his redraft rankings for next year already, plus dynasty rankings. We got it all covered for you over at In This League. Sorry, no Ryder Cup coverage from us, but that's why we have Bubba as well. But Bub, let's talk some football here, and let's start with TJ Watt getting paid. It finally happened. It is the biggest contract for a defensive player in NFL history. It's over $100 million, and they literally did it like 3 days before the season starts, and it took TJ Watt going through his agents to go in and say, we're taking this deal. Let's sign it. So I know I am super happy that this got done and we're going to be able to see TJ Watt out on the field this Sunday. What do you feel about this? Because I know you are a TJ Watt fan.
Yeah, but it's another great tight end from the University of Wisconsin getting paid, which is great because you know the Watts, they go in with tight ends, right? Okay. Uh-huh. I know a lot of people won't get that joke, but that's like the funniest thing.
I mean,
thing
JJ
ever.
Has like 10 touchdown receptions.
It's just so funny watching these beastly defensive guys that were tight ends in college.
You see Vita Vea playing some fullback today? That was
fun. Dude, did you see him mowing over these freaking front line?
He's 350 pounds. If he's 350 pounds, I feel like I'm 180 pounds and I'm not. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I think he's probably a couple biscuits shy of four bills, you know.
Speaking of TJ Watt, do you think he's like, okay, I want to take this deal. I'm going to go tell him to take this deal. Do you think he fired his agents before he did so he didn't have to pay him?
I mean, he should have. He probably should have, but you also got to make sure the agents are there, you know, more the lawyers are there.
Yeah, to make sure the fine prints of all the stuff.
Yeah, because you got to comb through everything, make sure everything's good and up to code and proper, all that stuff.
I can go get on LegalZoom and get that taken care of for a lot cheaper than those guys are charging. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But good for him. Like you said, it's like 4 years, like 112, 80 mil guaranteed. Like, dude, I like how he did it because, yeah, sure, you can bark and complain and try to get some more money. I'm pretty sure $80 million is going to be just fine for four freaking years of football. He'll still be old enough or young enough, I should say, to get another decent deal after this. Like, if he stays healthy, legit, like, the dude can get another same deal or better. Like, why would you fight over it? I can't stand it. I'm glad he did it. I hope it's a thing we see more often because it wasn't like the team was trying to screw him. So you didn't really need an agent to come tell him.
Highest paid defensive player.
Yeah, like what are you trying to get out of this? Like ownership in the team or something? Like what the heck are you going? Does the agent want its own private box at the stadium? Like what are we trying to get out of this? So I'm glad he did it. I'm glad for the Steelers. I'm glad for TJ. I'm glad for the Watts. I'm glad that he's going to tell his brother, I got the bill this time. It's going to be pretty good stuff.
I love that tweet already. JJ Watt was like, so should I send your IOUs to your accountant or do you want to hit me up on Venmo? That was pretty great.
You know what the funny thing is though? He probably did that a lot just like messing with him because he's like, I know he's gonna get paid a lot of money, so I'm just gonna he wants, but I'm gonna remind him every time, like, hey, remember this time when we did this? Yeah. No, you owe me this.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, what are brothers for?
Exactly. You remind brothers of like the Coke they bought, like you bought them like a week ago at McDonald's for a dollar. Like, oh, God knows what they were doing with all their money.
Yeah, I know exactly. So I'm just happy. I mean, look, I think the Steelers are going to get run over by the Bills in week one, of course. But, I'm so glad it's at least going to make it a little more competitive because the Steelers might be out of Tyson Alualu and Alex Highsmith is already banged up. So now we're going to have Melvin Ingram and TJ Watt getting after Josh Allen. So
he's still going to be on a pitch count though, right?
I would assume he's on a pitch count, but he's been with the team working out. Like he's been training.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. What shape he's in. I'm not worried.
Yeah,
about
he's in shape, but I would assume since you haven't gone through no snaps in the preseason and just one live practice, which was on Wednesday. We're recording this on Thursday. I think that he's got to be limited at least a little bit. Now let's go over to what's happening with the Ravens. And look, I know some of my buddies are like, you must be loving this. Not really, man. I don't like to see guys get hurt.
Yeah,
the internet's undefeated. The memes are fantastic, yeah. Right? And what the hell is Harbaugh doing over there with, you know, we saw Dobbins go down and that was kind of where it started. People started to say, you know, what are we doing? When we've got Dobbins going down, sure, we're 20-0 in the preseason. Who gives two S's about preseason games? Nobody should care. These are tune-up games. These are warm-up games to get your guys ready. You should not care about winning them. I understand getting the winning mentality down and all that stuff. You want to win the preseason games. We've seen that stuff a bunch on Hard Knocks. I get it. Nobody likes to lose. But what's worse, losing a stupid preseason game that I guarantee you no one will remember when the season is over. Nobody remembers these stupid games. You are not judged by your preseason record at all. Nobody cares. Or losing J.K. Dobbins for the year. So J.K. Dobbins goes down for the year. That happened a week two or three of the preseason. I can't even remember
it. It was week two because I was doing my live home fantasy draft right after someone picked J.K.
Dobbins. God.
And then the guy right after that took Gus Edwards, and I'll leave that for you in a little bit.
Oh, yikes. Well, you know what? Comeuppance happened. Yep. So then we see earlier this week, or maybe late last week, Justice Hill tore his Achilles.
No, and we saw earlier this week, it happened late last week. We didn't hear about it for like 3 days.
Right. Okay. So Justice Hill tears his Achilles. He's done for the year. Two running backs down. Today in practice, Marcus Peters blows out his knee on one play. And, you know, they know it's a significant knee injury. They cart him off. They get back to practice. Next play, Gus Edwards goes down with a knee injury. Then they they canceled the rest of the practice because you're running out of players, right?
Something's cursed.
Right. And so it's two knee injuries. I mean, I got to assume, and it's tough to assume, this could be sheer dumb luck, bad luck, however you want to call it. But I think maybe the Ravens are going a little bit too hard in practice, and that's why you got guys dropping like flies here. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it definitely could happen. I think they need this guy to come help them out.
Oh, like, Joe Boo, how long have you had that?
I've had this for a long time. It sits right next to me here as I record at all times. But
where's his rum? You better have rum out.
It's in my belly. No, they need some kind of help. Like, go get a live chicken. I don't know, like something, because it's not good. The fact it was on back to back plays is scary. That's three running backs. Everyone's talking about the rookie Williams, who could be interesting. You got Le'Veon Bell, who was a practice squad guy that might actually have to suit up and play this weekend. I think they went out and signed Devontae Foreman also. Latavius Murray is still hanging around. I don't know why.
Latt Murray signed with them too today. So
he did sign. So I missed that part. So I'm sitting there going, I saw the other ones. I'm like, why are they just not getting Latt Murray? This makes the most sense in the world. And then, okay, so they made that happen. It's a nasty situation. Like, I'm with you. As much as you love or hate, like, I hate the Dodgers. I don't want to see, you know, Mookie Betts get hurt or Rocker you don't want that kind of stuff. You want to beat them at their best. I don't want excuses.
Absolutely.
I don't want excuses like, oh, we're done. No. I beat you because we beat you.
Yeah. And also, look, excuses do not matter. You know, no one feels bad for you in the NFL. Every team has injuries. The Ravens have them in a bunch. Other teams will get them over the year. So, you know, just no one is going to feel bad for you at all. So I'm not going to sit here and feel bad for anybody. You know, they'll come back and they're still going to be a great team. I still expect them to beat the Raiders. I mean, the line had to have slipped from what we talked about on our pre-snap pod before. And I'm sure today on Saturday, as we're listening to this, we're recording on Thursday, but on Saturday, it's going to be way different than what we saw before. So, well,
the fun part is on our preview season pre-snap show, when we did our bets we like for divisions and everything, the Browns were like plus around 385, 400, give or take. They're down to like 150 now, and we were both hard on the Browns. Like, we loved the Browns. So I guess that's one positive there, if you're paying attention to what we do outside of this wonderful radio show. But in the grand scheme of things, I know everyone's talking about it and all, and you need a running back and everything. Lamar's the running back one anyways. Like, he's always been the running back one. So sure, yes, you need a guy to kind of keep the peace, but I wouldn't be going too crazy. Basically,
who are you going with here? Because I mean, if you have to own one, is your pick going to be Tyson Williams? Because they signed Lev Bell to the practice squad. He's obviously going to get promoted. Trenton Cannon, they signed to the active roster. They signed Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray. So now you have five options and five kind of dicey options here. So, I mean, is Latavius Murray your guy out of this group? Is it Freeman? Is it Bell? What do you think?
I'd go Latt Murray for now, but I think if you the whole season as the whole package, I like the rookie Williams. I think that's the guy. They drafted him. Why not get him exposure now? Like, why let these other guys, like, let these guys be backups, do what they got to do. Let's get this kid some run. Let's see what he's got. Otherwise, we wasted a pick. Let's move on type thing. So I'd say Williams should be the guy.
I think the danger with Williams, and I think he's a UDFA, so I don't know that they drafted him.
Okay.
But, I mean, James Robinson was UDFA and worked out.
Arian Foster, I believe, right?
Or so was Arian Foster, absolutely. So there's plenty of guys that work out. The thing is I think if he doesn't roll week one against the Raiders, It's just going to be a messy situation the whole year, because then they'll probably go, okay, well, we got a week of Freeman and Lat. And maybe if Bell is looking good on the practice squad, they bring him up too, but somebody has to play special teams. So, and I think Tyson Williams, who was supposed to go in the year as the third, him and Justice Hill were probably playing some special team snaps. So, and you don't bring in Freeman, Lat Murray, and Bell. None of those guys are playing special teams. So, I mean, maybe Lat Murray can, but I doubt it. So, it's just going to be a dicey, weird situation. But when we come back, we'll be talking about the Thursday night football action. This game was insane. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this in this league on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three. Why the fuck is it called a...
In this league.
Because who could be scared of a...
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody, in this league on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter, at Bogman Sports. I am here with my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDNtric on the Twitter machine. And it is time to talk about this crazy Thursday night football game. I mean, first of all, just to see an opening game with a full crowd. And, of course, you know, it's Brady winning, you know, with the banner unveiling and Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran looked like Roger Goodell's disappointing son that was just in the booth with him. You know what I mean? Wearing like a Slap D t-shirt with all of his tattoos everywhere. You know what I mean? So it just looked goofy. I also don't understand the pre-game one concerts at all, but I'm an old man, I guess, when it comes to that stuff. But this game was insane, Bub. 31-29 came down to a dicey call at the end here, but let's talk about that first. Chris Godwin 100% pushed off on that play.
100%.
I do not understand. Right in front of the ref too. We got on to talk before. You wouldn't even let me talk because I yell and scream during games, and I'm like maybe 30 seconds ahead of Bubba because he's watching on YouTube TV and I have on DirecTV. So he takes his earplugs out to watch the game at the end, cuz we connect with like a minute 14 left. And so we're watching the end of this game. And I mean, I am ranting and raving. You aren't hearing it at all.
I heard a big noise at one point.
Right. Yeah. That was probably me going, what the hell are they doing? So that was nuts. I can't believe, because if you remember, and I know Cowboys fans do, so I'm pretty sure it was last year. It might've been the year before, but they opened up against the Rams on Sunday Night Football, and they got screwed because they called offensive pass interference on Cooper or Gallup or somebody. I can't remember who it was, but they called the offensive pass interference, and the Rams end up winning that game. This year, they don't call the offensive pass interference, and the Cowboys get screwed. So both teams look pretty solid. There were a lot of turnovers from Tampa Bay, but this call, they got to fix something about this, right?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible. Like you said, like the worst part about it, like most likely right in front of the ref. Like it wasn't even like it was difficult for them to see, bad angle, whatever. It was directly in front of him. The guy got shoved. It was like Reggie Miller shooting a three against the Knicks. Like he shoved off like our Jordan versus Utah. There you go for all you guys out there.
There you go. Yeah.
Like it was such a blatant push off. Unbelievable. Tom Brady gets his again. So what happens, folks? Get used to it if you're not a freaking AFC East fan. So this is what Tom Brady does. And it was a great football game. Both teams played like I could have had their chance to win. You know, the Bucs with four turnovers, kind of surprising. But the Cowboys played great, and to get kind of screwed over like that, that's at least it's game one of 17, not, you know, game one of the playoffs, because that would have really, really.
Yeah. I mean, if this was the playoffs, Dallas would be burning to the ground right now. So.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy better have gotten ejected at that point. Like, yeah, like we are going my gut versus your nipples. Let's go.
So listen to this stat. I think this is the craziest stat of this game. 108 passing attempts. One sack.
Good. A lot of holds by Cowboys, though. Lots of holds to protect
Connor Williams got caught three or four times.
You know, you probably get the memo. Hey, we need Dak. So if you got to take the hold, we'll just let this one go, guys.
1,000%. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's not get him killed, because the big man up the middle already got to him a few times. So if you're on the outside, just keep things going. Do what you gotta do.
But Brady threw two picks. I mean, the second one was absolutely not his fault. It bounced right off of Fournette's meat beaters and into the hands of the Cowboys there. Just a terrible attempt by Fournette. What did you think about, let's just start with Brady and the Bucs offense. 32 of 50, 379 yards, four touchdowns, two picks. Can you take a crack at how many rushing attempts the Bucs had?
Well, I have it up right now, so I can tell you exactly what it was.
14.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. I don't get it.
Understand this. I mean, Dak was playing great. Take the ball out of his hands. Run the ball a little bit.
Well, it was so effective for the Bucs last year, too. Ronald Jones had some big games. Like, they're the favorite in this game. They could control the game. I expected them to run the ball. I expect them to get 15 to 20 carries in this game.
Ronald Jones in the doghouse after that fumble. I don't know if he saw the field again after that.
Yeah, no, I don't think he did, because Fournette was all over the place out there.
Yeah, I mean, Fournette had he only had 9 rushes for 32 yards, but he did have 7 targets, 5 catches for 27 yards as well. I mean, I wish he would have got in the end zone. I guess if you're playing in a PPR, 5 catches is about a touchdown, so I guess we'll take it there. But AB was huge in this game, 5 for 121 in a score. Chris Godwin had 9 for 105, but that big time fumble in the end zone, the Bucs were going to go up. And they were going to cover, and you know, it wasn't going to be a close game. I bet Dak, you know, usually in that situation, you see a team that can put pressure on the quarterback like Tampa Bay, go after the quarterback, and that quarterback throw a pick. That's not what happened because of this Chris Godwin fumble. It was huge. Gronk had 2 scores, 8 for 90 and 2 touchdowns. I told you about Fournette. Only 3 catches for 24 yards on 6 targets for Mike Evans.
He looked non-existent during that game. Non-existent.
And Gio Bernard, I know a lot of people led by, I think maybe Adam Rank, a lot of people in on Gio Bernard. 3 targets, 2 catches, 12 yards. So just not a great game for the running backs here, but AB looked like he might be back to his old type of form. Godwin was huge, and Gronk scored 2 touchdowns. So looks like Brady's going to have an enormous season.
Yeah, Gronk looked great. You know, he's healthy week one. We'll see how he goes as the season goes on. Godwin's always a beast. We know that. But the AB thing, like, we saw when AB joined the Bucs last year, Brady loved throwing him the football. We saw it time and time again when he's on the field. And then like a week ago or so, Brady says, I haven't seen Antonio Brown look like this since he was on the Steelers. Like, you know there's a connection there. He's just so giddy over. So I don't think Evans is dust, but there's a third hand in the cookie jar, and it's not going away right now in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't think that Evans is going to be like this the whole year. There were a couple plays where there was one where Brady threw it over his head. Yeah. There's another one where Diggs got a pinky
barely got it. Like, he could take it. It could have been housed.
Yeah, that one could have been a score for him too. So I'm with you. I am absolutely not counting out Mike Evans at all whatsoever. Even crazier on offense. And look, Mike McCarthy said at halftime, we are taking what the Bucs are giving us. I guess, but 58 pass attempts for Dak. And I know Dak has control of the offense a little bit too. He called a lot of audibles. I mean, they, I guess, at least had 18 rushing attempts. But, I mean, you know, try showing someone from the 50s this football game. They would not recognize it. They'd be like, what sport is this?
You know what's more impressive besides the 58 pass attempts? He only had 16 incompletions.
Yeah, I mean, 42 of 58, 403 yards, 3 TDs, and 1 pick. I mean, Dak, remember, we looked at the numbers. Michael Fabiano actually put it together over for CBS, and he had tracked it, and it was like the four games that Dak completed before his ankle got annihilated, he was on pace for like 47 touchdowns, 5,700 yards or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous numbers. And you look at that and you go, oh, well, come on, that's not going to happen. And I know they're adding a game, but nobody's going to get up to close to 6,000 yards in a season. He's going to throw 58 damn passes a game. Yep. He's going to hit it, you know, 403 yards in this game. So 17 games, you're right there. You're sitting at that 5,800 yard mark. So
can you picture this versus that Giants defense he gets twice a year?
Okay.
Eagles defense he gets twice a year.
Yeah.
Like Washington's good. Tough, but yeah, they're good. But yeah, that's four games for sure. You could just like chalk up to 300 plus pretty easily right now.
How do you have Zeke and give them the ball 11 times? And I know it's a good front for Tampa Bay, but how do you give the ball to Zeke 11 times? They even only target him two times. He caught both those balls. Zeke cannot have 13 touches for the Cowboys to expect to win games, even against the Bucs, right?
Yeah, no, it's a bad look, and I know it's going to be talked about a lot, and maybe they're saying, hey, they were giving us passes, and it worked because like how efficient he was. Cooper and Lamb, 15 and 16 targets respectively. Gallup was getting a ton of looks before he got hurt. So it was working. He was spreading it around, and it was looking good. So maybe there is something to that. At the same time, it's like you said about Brady. Why aren't they running the ball to keep Dak off the field? Aren't they trying to run the ball to keep Brady off the field? Yeah. It's not like they weren't getting blown out of the building. They could have tried to work it, but they didn't want to let it get established. Maybe they couldn't. I don't know. It worked. They almost got the dub. Maybe they should have got the dub. Let's put it that way. But you're not going to be able to go a whole season like this.
Yeah, I do a live stream for Thursday Night Football over on our Patreon. And what I told them when I had to leave because we had to record stuff. And what I said was, because I left after they nailed the field goal to go up, the Dallas Cowboys did. And I said, look, there's a minute and 58 left or 207, whatever it was. I said, I fully expect the Bucs to come back and win this game, but yeah, I got to go, guys. So I'll see you. And that is exactly what happened. Cowboys in the receiving game. The demise of Amari Cooper has been overshot. 16 targets, 13 receptions, 139 yards, two touchdowns, and Bogman has all the shares. Love Amari Cooper. I mean, I got him in guillotine. He's definitely going to help me in guillotine 100%. CeeDee Lamb had 15 targets just behind Cooper, seven catches, 104 yards, and a score. Dalton Schultz was your leading tight end target, six targets, six catches, 45 yards. Jarwin had four catches or four targets, three catches and 20 yards. Gallup had seven for four and 36. Tony Pollard got involved, only three rushes for 14 yards, but he had four targets, four catches for 29 yards. Cedric Wilson got in there with three catches for 24, and Zeke only had two catches for 26. So, I mean, Amari Cooper looked great, but I tell you what, Amari Cooper looked so gassed at the end of this game.
Big time. That,
you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember, was it week one or week two where the Seahawks played the Panthers and it was on the night game, and Julian Edelman caught everything from Cam Newton. He had like 14 catches, but I think that was Edelman's last game. I think he got hurt after that, or he got hurt the next game, but he looked gassed. And I don't think that's going to happen to Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper much younger than Edelman was last year, but I mean, he earned his check, and he is going to be in a nice ice bath probably all night. So what do you think about the receiving core here for Dallas?
Yeah, Cooper looked great. The couple things I would take away though is CeeDee Lamb, a lot of drops, still performed great. One of the picks that Dak had was a great pass into triple coverage right off of CeeDee's hands.
Yeah.
Like, CeeDee's going to be awesome. He's going to be a monster this year. This could have been a bigger game, and some of the Amari got might have been taken away if CeeDee catches the ball. We'll see. Other thing I'll mention is keep an eye on Gallup and his injury, because he was using Gallup a lot.
So, yeah. Those seven targets were like through two and a quarter.
And Sed Wilson came in for Gallup and got three catches on three targets. So in theory, you could have maybe gotten 10 targets to Gallup, which is pretty darn awesome. So if they're going to throw this much and you're playing some fantasy football, you're playing DFS, whatever, Gallup's going to have some viability this season, especially in those big passing games as they spread it around. Because that's what I like to see. It's not just a high-powered passing offense. He spreads it around. Even Jarwin getting looks. Like, he wasn't – as much as Cooper and Lamb had 31 combined targets, he did spread it around a lot too. So I think that's something to take away from this one. I don't think they'll throw this much, but definitely something to think about.
All right. Well, look, we are going to hit a break here. And when we come back, we're going to end the 3-hour tour. So stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We're going to talk some more football right after this break. So stick with us right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys hear Endless Love. You know what that means. At the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League, the Sports Grid, please follow us all at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Intrick for Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Check out all of Bubba's great work. I got some questions for you to end us out here, Bubba. Zeke, are you going to sell him or buy him right now? What do you think for the rest of the season? Is he a RB1 inside the top 12 after what you saw on Thursday Night Football?
I want to say no, but realistically, yes. I didn't want to draft him anywhere this year. I wanted nothing to do with Ezekiel Elliott. So I would say, though, you'd have to buy, though, because you're not going to find him much cheaper ever again.
Right, right. I think he's absolutely a buy as well. I think I may have one share, but I don't know if I have any shares of Zeke. I wanted him. I was not avoiding him. I just, you know, he went in the top four picks. So yep. After Saquon dropped out of the top four, which I was always taking Saquon, but after he dropped out of the top four, Zeke jumped in that spot. So I just didn't draft in that spot many, many times. So I didn't get him, but I would absolutely be buying him. Who is your tight end in Dallas? Do you want Dalton Schultz after seeing what he did? Because Blake Jarwin is the guy that got all of the run in the preseason. I didn't want to mess with them, specifically Jarwin, because I said, look, I think they kind of like Schultz, so I don't really want anybody here, but Schultz looked like he might be viable.
Yeah, I don't really want either one of them. I guess go with the hot hand for now, but you know, Jarwin still had a decent role, and I wouldn't be shocked if it flipped next week. Like that's how it's going to roll in this one. But go with Schultz for now. Maybe there's something there that we didn't see before, and he can kind of be that safety valve again. Maybe some of this happened because a lot of it happened after Gallup was out. Maybe that little third down safety valve of Gallup short routes went to the tight ends.
Is Ronald Jones a drop?
Yeah, because I play in PPR formats. He was never going to help you there to begin with.
Man, after 1 week, that's tough. He might be. I'll say no right now.
Well, there's no good replacement probably right now, but if
there might be after week one.
Well, the first sign of a good replacement, then yes, he's a drop.
Yeah, I mean, I might be with you on that. So we'll see what comes after week one, but good luck with all of your bets and all of your fantasy matchups. We hope you have a great opening weekend of the NFL. Enjoy it, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.